So a couple updates.
Yes.
We create a plan and a strategy to implement the gratitude campaign.
Great.
Yeah. So, Zan, our director of client solutions, she created a spreadsheet. She put all the clients in there, and then she took the initiative to go and see if it was in there in the system, who referred them, and put that in there. And then she wanted me to review it, and I added some things to that. And then I filled in the blanks of some other people, who, that weren't in the system, and then the dates that they referred. And it was really a good exercise too, because it's kind of interesting that how many of the clients, you know, were referrals. It was the vast, you know, overwhelming majority were introductions from another client. And some of those people are deceased, right? And
yeah.
Some could be, but only a handful were self-introductions, you know, from me. And even those self-introductions with maybe one or two or three, from my door knocking days, you know, starting out in the business, most of the other ones that were self-introductions were, they were, you know, they were a fellow Rotarian, or they
right.
met through Bible study or some other, you know.
Other a niche.
That's right.
They were in a niche. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a good exercise for me. So we talked about that this morning. She's going to make some revisions, and then she's going to do, as we talked about put that actually on the client agenda, right? In that month. So
right.
In January, for example, Mrs. Smith introduced me to, you know, their next door neighbors. They became clients. The next January, on both people's agenda, hey, Mrs. Smith, thank you so much for introducing me to your next door neighbor, you know, Jim and Sally. They've now been clients for a whole year, and they're just incredible clients. We enjoy helping them. Thanks so much. And then the same thing to Jim and Sally. Hey, this time last year, your neighbor, Mrs. Smith, introduced us, and you've now been clients for a year, and we so appreciate you becoming clients.
You know, it's Preston, it's it's very gratifying to work with you, because you actually use my ideas.
Well, that's what I'm paying you for.
No, you wouldn't believe it. You know, here's something that this is a really interesting thing. I worked with a guy in Canada. And he does everything great except acquisition. And he completely crashes on acquisition, right? And I said to him, you know, it's interesting when we really analyze our true state of confidence, right? I was a manager for years, right? And I thought I was, on the surface, I thought I was pretty terrific, right? And I thought I coached my guys better than anybody, and that I trained better than anybody, and I was the cat's meow. But when it came to recruiting, I didn't do it well. And the reason was, I really didn't in my heart of hearts think that person was that much better off with me than with the competition.
Interesting.
Then when I did Supernova and got to see everything, right? I all of a sudden went from this land view to 30,000 feet. And I see you, and but particularly I see all the other firms. And then I see the managers of these FAs.
Yes.
And without really asking, or they tell me, right?
Right.
And not to indict their managers, but they just don't get anything. I mean, virtually, you know,
right.
they get no coaching, no direction, you know, they have to do the obligatory finance, you know, plan for the year, and they do their review and obligatory review, but it's not what you and I are doing right now, right?
Right.
Which is what I actually did as a financial advisor. I knew everybody's practice really well, and I coached them, right? And I taught 1242, and I taught that to my managers, and my managers did 1242 with their FAs. And I mean, we actually did the job. Well, if I knew then what I know now, I recruited everybody in town.
Oh yeah.
But I didn't, you know, so how do you, you know, I guess my question is how do you get a person to understand how really good they are compared to what their perception of themselves, right?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, and more importantly, as advisors, what's challenging is that all clients put financial advice, the majority of clients put financial advisors in the same box.
Right.
Oh yeah, hamburgers, McDonald's sells those. I've had them. They're okay. They're quick. They're fast. Or yeah, I've eaten it, you know, at Three Forks or wherever, you know, or,
right.
And you know, it's overpriced hamburger. They're somewhere, and that's kind of the two camps they have. So really educating them on, I'm not either one of those. This sometimes will challenge. I do have a good success story of that though. It's actually the father of one of my clients who we've been trying to get introduction for quite some time. When he did finally come see me, just even at our second meeting, we haven't got to the third meeting yet. When we shared about how we work with clients and the, you know, our model and et cetera, he said, I wished I'd have come seen you 2 years ago.
Wow.
And then he said he originally was just going to move one of his accounts to us. He was going to move the Fidelity account, but then keep his Edward Jones account. And he said, you do all this? I said, yes. He said, this would make my life much easier, but my wife would be really happy about this. If we need to move that other account over to you as well in order to take advantage of this, I'm happy to do that. And I said, yes. So it's going to be about a $1.8 million account. So that's a good relationship. It meets our target minimum.
And he's a guy that values what you're doing.
That's right.
Now, in my case, what I needed to do was sift through people that valued me versus those that didn't value me. But I had to teach them what I did, and I didn't have the three-step process. Okay? I had the one-step process. Make a call, meet them, maybe two steps, right? Meet them, try and sell them, and then if I didn't sell them, then, you know, keep in touch, but didn't close them. So I think that was, if I was going to do it over again, I think I had everything in place. I just wasn't selling as if I knew the answer. The answer was I was better.
Yes.
And that's what you've got to be in your head, that no, you're wrong. I am better. This would be better for you.
Confidence without arrogance.
The true knowledge that they would be better off, because I didn't think they'd be better off. I thought, I didn't want, you know, in my own mind, I didn't want to disrupt their life. I thought they're going to move. They're going to lose clients in the move. It's going to be so disruptive. It's going to wreck their life and I'm going to be responsible. That was my head.
Yeah.
The whole time as a manager.
There was some truth to that. But not all true, yeah.
Right. But when I brought guys over, guess what? They all did great. You know, and I did recruit guys. Yeah. But I really sucked at it compared to what I could have been. Anyway.
So I did have something I need your help and input. It's kind of...
Yes. And I got to go on time today, so...
Yeah, I know. Just got to figure it out. So, right. You know... So this is an employee issue that I need your help with.
Yep.
And so Zan, who's our director of client solutions, if you recall, she originally came on board last year as a part-time, you know, 1099 employee working 20 hours a week, working remotely the majority of the time.
Yeah.
And then when her unemployment ran out, she said, hey, can I work more hours? I need more money.
Right.
And we said, yes, however, it's going to need to be 40 hours a week and you'll need to come in the office at least 3 days a week, you know, probably Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and you can work remotely Monday, Friday. So she agreed to that. Now, I'll take ownership in that part of this is probably the telephone game that I communicated this to Shelley, a lot of this to Shelley, and Shelley communicated a lot of this to Zan, but I communicate some of this to Zan. Now, one of the things that Zan and I have been doing is having a weekly meeting twice a week. We have a meeting for about 30 minutes on Mondays and Fridays.
Yep.
And then we're also doing 12-4-2. So I would like some, probably some more help on the specific agenda for 12.4.2 to help me polish on that. But then, so the issue we're having is this. So we've been doing 12.4.2. Things are going really well. I'm really pleased their performance. In fact, a month or two ago, I think maybe a couple of months ago, so pleased their performance, I did a review and I gave her a big bonus check. It was a nice bonus check. I mean, you know, big's all relative, right?
Yeah.
It was several thousand dollars, I think, right?
Yeah.
$1,500, $2,000 bonus. Thank you. You're doing a great job. Thank you. Right. And sure. then after that, in my prayer time, a week or two later, I had been helping another client to try and find a virtual assistant. And I recommend this company, walked them all through. And in reviewing that, he was going to have to pay like $40 an hour. And I realized that I was not paying Zan $40 an hour. And my gosh, you know, if I had to hire, if she quit and I had to hire someone like this other team, when I'm now paying one of my other staff members more than $40 an hour. But Zan still hadn't reached the 1 year mark, you know, completely, you know, especially as full time, right? So overall, I'm very pleased with her. Our one to one, you know, the twice a week's going well. She's, you know, she's getting the job done. She's learning. She's growing. She works well with Shelly. But one of the things that I said to Shelly up front was we have a time tracking tool because you're working remotely. That's the only way I know how many hours you're working, you know, or that you're even working. And so one of the things that I said to Shelly, who's my wife, you know, was, hey, make sure when we went full time, make sure we're tracking that I'm getting my 40 hours every week. Now, if she gets 35 hours this week, you know, make it up to me next week. Or, you know, if she has to take some time off to go to the doctor, no problem, just make that up to me. Or, you know, when you, for the most part, when you want to do that is fine, except that, you know, 8:30 to 4 are our business hours. My staff answers, Zan doesn't have to answer the phone. I have a full Ruby that answers the phone from 8:30 to 4.
Yep.
But anyway, so, and I've asked Shelly to update me on that regularly. Most of the time when she's updating me, it's, oh, here's how many hours she has for the week, but it's on Tuesday or it's on Wednesday. So last week we had been on vacation for a whole week. Zan and my other team members did a fabulous job of not interrupting our vacation. There was, I think, one thing that came up. They interacted with Shelly. She went to bring it up to me. She said, on our vacation, there's two business, quick business things I need to go over with you. She went over the one and I said, I did. Thank you for the information. I already addressed that before I left town. I did not need to know that. And so unless the other thing is like dire urgent, like there's money that didn't get transferred or, you know, unless something that requires me to liquidate something, I don't need to know about it till I get back. She's like, okay. So the office ran smoothly. Zan, you know, processed some deposits and followed up on some things. She only had to, and I let her work remotely except for to come in to check some further deposits, et cetera, like that. But last week, so, and before Zan, before we left, Zan's daughter in the Dallas area, is having some surgery to remove some cancerous area. And she had asked, you know, I really feel like I need to help her. Her husband works full time. They have two small kids. We said, absolutely. We want you to be there for that surgery and you can work remotely that week and help her and, you know, no problem. Right. Plus the other thing is when I gave her that pay raise, if I told you that part or I left that part out, after I gave her the bonus in my prayer time, I realized like, hey, I need to give her a pay. The Lord's like, you need to pay her more. So I just automatically did. I gave her a substantial pay raise. When she came back, she was like on vacation at that time or out of the office. And she told my wife, hey, I'm telling her about her. Hey, I think there's a mistake in my deposit. I said, don't say anything to her. I'll just be a surprise. You know, and she's like, it's a nice mistake, but I'm afraid that if it's a mistake, I have to give it back. And so then we got together. She said, we have to talk to Preston about that. So I said, well, I thought about it. You've been doing a great job and I just decided to give you a pay raise. I feel like the Lord put that in my heart and I'm giving you 2 weeks paid vacation on top of the pay raise. And she was like, wow, that's really generous, right? So that was a couple months ago. So I come back this week. So she's going to leave early. This is last week. It's on Monday. So she didn't have to be in the office on Monday. No, she did have to be in the office on Monday. So she came in the office 4 days last week and she left at noon on Thursday. Okay. She was taking Friday off to be with her daughter for surgery. And then she took all of her stuff, including her phone, to work remotely from Dallas this week. Right. So on Tuesday, she just arbitrarily says, I said, hey, I've got to go pick up Price from school. It was like a little before 3 and I'll be back. And she said, oh, well, I won't be here. I have a meeting in Horseshoe Bay that I have to be at 3:30. And I said, okay, is everything all right? I thought maybe she had a doctor's appointment or something like that. And she said, well, No, the other, she does, and she had told me when she worked part-time that she did books for some, there's a wealthy guy in Horseshoe Bay that she does books for that she should introduce me to because we could make it, but she hasn't. And I think she does some books for her mom and some other people. Right. And so she said, well, he can't get onto his JP Morgan account and he needs some help. And so, you know, I need to go help him. And I said, okay. You know, I didn't have time or space to discuss it, but I was kind of like,
yeah,
I didn't think that was right. So then so I told Shelly, that's really bothered me. I want you to check on her hours, you know, and I'm going to discuss this when she gets back from taking her, you know, taking care of her daughter in person. And so the very next day, it's in between meetings, it's like 3 o'clock it's lunchtime. I'm going to get some lunch or come back or something. And she says, well, I have to leave today at 3 because I have a meeting at 3:30. Hey, you know, we talked about in my plan about me possibly, you know, adding on to my house and stuff. And I reached out to that architect that you recommended and he's full, but he referred me to someone else. And so I got an appointment, but the only time he could get me in was today at 3:30. So I'm leaving the office today at 3. And I said, well, Zan, aren't you leaving at noon tomorrow? And she said, yes. And I said, well, you know, gosh, I wasn't going to say anything. I'm kind of confused, but you know, this is 2 days in a row, you know, that you are leaving early. And I feel disrespected. Like, you know, we talk twice a week. You know, this is already a short work week. Is there something going on I don't know about? Well, no, I work 30 to 40 hours a week for you. And so from 9 to 3, I work for you. And then, you know, that was the only time that the architect had available. And I said, well, I'm feeling disrespected. I feel like you're putting other people first. And I feel like you're telling me, I don't really feel like we're talking about it. Like, hey, I talked to this architect. They only have 3:30 available. That may disrupt your schedule. Is it okay, you know, if I make this appointment? And I was like, you know, gosh, you're going to be out a day and a half this week. I've been gone all last week. It's already a short week anyway. Maybe this wasn't the best week to schedule a meeting with the architect. Maybe you should schedule that when you got back. And I said, you know, we don't really have time to discuss this because I've got another meeting coming in 10 minutes. So we don't really have time or space, but it's definitely something we need to talk about. And I, you know, it was never my expectation that 9 to 3 were your working hours. And so I don't know where we've kind of gotten off, but I would like for us to have conversations. I don't want you to feel like I'm telling you what to do. But I don't want to feel like you're telling me what to do and that we have a good relationship. And she did apologize. And she said, well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean. And I said, I know you didn't mean to, but I'm just telling you how I feel. I want us to have an open relationship, you know. And she said, you know, because she's been divorced for 7 years. And she said, well, you know, I've been on my own for 7 years. And, you know, I'm kind of used to making my own decision, doing my own thing. And I said, I totally get that. If it's before 8:30 or after, because she said, you might be getting a lot more text messages. You know, if I've got a, like, and I said, hey, if it's before 8:30 or after 4, you don't have to ask me or even tell me about it. But if it's between 8:30 and 4, I'd like first to have a conversation because how did you know that yesterday or today, I didn't have this time from 3 to 4 that I needed to go over stuff with you because I was in appointments and other things. So anyway, it still kind of bothered me.
I think you're okay. You did a good job. You did a good job. Look, the reality is this is an education problem, not a personnel problem.
Yeah. How do I reset that? I feel like we've got to schedule one-to-one.
Yeah, you got to reset. It's one of the guys said to me, what happens when clients don't show up for my phone calls? Mm-hmm. I said, you got an education problem. You got a training issue.
Yeah. So I guess my question is, because it hadn't been my big strength. So when I talked to Shelly about it, I said, here's, you know, this, what happened.
Right.
And I said, you know, I've been asking you to review her hours every week. And she goes, well, I do periodically, but I'm not good at policing people. And I said, I'm not asking you to police her. I'm just asking you to give me feedback. If she's working 30 hours or she's working, you know, if we've gone 8 weeks and she's putting in 30 hours, then it's really our responsibility that we haven't held her accountable to what our agreement is.
Right. Are you paying her for 40 hours?
Yes. We're paying her just a flat fee, but yes, it's my expectation that flat amount that she gets This right. was a 40-hour work week.
And so I would just challenge her with that. Look, we're paying you for 40 hours. If you want us to pay you for 30 hours, we'll pay you for 30 hours. I mean, whatever works best for you. We'd like you to work 40 hours, but her freedom may be more important than the hours. Do you need her for 40 hours?
I think the short answer to that question is yes. Here's my expectation. My expectation is our office hours open 8:30 to 4. So I've turned my schedule over to her.
She's
going to have rapid response. And right. also, because I said, look, a lot of things need to be, I gave her an example like the second day. I said, like, here's an example of why this is important. You left yesterday. You weren't going to be, you left here at 3. There was an urgent client email that came in at 3:05 from their mortgage broker that said, we need this information for this client today. And I said, and you were gone. You checked out for the day. And I said, so the thing about it is I had 3 options. Either I could take care of it, which I didn't have the time or space to do because I was picking up my son, taking him here and going there, and I wouldn't be back till 4:00. I could delegate it to our other staff member who works remotely, but she's on Eastern time, so she had already left for the day, and there wasn't enough time space. So that left 2 options. That put it on Shelly's plate, and Shelly didn't have the time or the space because she hadn't factored in her day. But so she had to stop what she was doing and work on that project. And I said, like, that's an example of you could have handled that in about 10 minutes. It wasn't a big project, but it was important and it was timely. And it comes back into our rapid response.
That's different. If she's running the calendar and she's running the office,
right?
And she's then you almost have to pretend that Shelly's not there.
Right.
And that's what you want to tell her. Don't think of Shelly as the person running the office. I want to think of you as the person running the office. Therefore, you're open the office at 8:30. You close it at 4. If you can't do that, check with me or with Kelly to make sure that we can open the office or close it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then back to your question is, so I know that time freedom is important to her, but I know the money, she needs the money too.
Yeah.
So, but I'll let her make that choice. But the thing about it is, so I have mixed feelings about it. Like one, I feel like, you know, I'm paying for another, for Ruby to answer the phones from 8:30 to 4. So that takes any pressure off of Zan to have to do that. Now Zan does make the reminder calls. But a lot of, I've trained clients for the last 12 years that I return off phone calls daily between 3 and 4. So a lot of people just wait till 3:00 to call.
Right.
And so that's what I was trying to educate her on. They won't call her. They just wait if it's not.
So you got a training issue. What you're explaining to me, you need to explain to her.
Okay.
Okay. You need to have this conversation. You say, look, this is probably my fault. Okay. I didn't explain how critical you are to this organization. You tell her what you want and then tell her and then she needs to tell you whether she can deliver on that. I want you to think of yourself as the integral part of this office. You're like the office manager. You're critical to this. 8:30 to 4 is your time. It's like being in the watch, having the watch in the Navy. Right? If you're on watch, you're it. You're in command.
And then back to your, this is sort of also answer. So I do feel passionate about that. Now, having said that, this is the way I feel. Hey, cause like Shelly's like, well, she's getting all the work done. Okay. Yeah. But there's always more work to be done.
And I understand.
All this
and
stuff
I was, you know, my first thing was Shelly's attitude, which is I really don't care as long as she gets the work done. But if she is the person to handle, to be the rapid response manager, then if she can't do that, she needs to turn that over to Shelly and it can't be turning it over to you.
Right.
Okay. And Kelly's got to be okay with that.
Right.
But she can't leave. You have the duty. If you leave, you cannot leave unless you turn the duty over to someone else who says, I've got the duty.
And then here's my other opinion about it. So like for, let's pick Mondays and Fridays, right? Most of the time, Mondays and Fridays, she works from home, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm like, hey, look, if we only have appointments in the office Tuesday and Wednesday, you can work from home Monday, Thursday, and Friday. I don't have a problem with that, right? There's no reason I should probably mandate that she come in certain office if there's no meetings. That's silly, right? And that gives her more time, free, and flexibility. But I also feel like, and I'm sharing this with you, if she can get 40 hours, like my wife, Shelley, can get 40 hours worth of work done in 20 hours. I mean, she's just that good, right? Other, maybe 60 hours. I mean, she's really efficient, right? Now, Zan's also good, but I don't know if that's true for her or not. So there's a part of me that, like, I don't want to be the stickler, like, you know, and especially someone's working remotely, they can just, okay, fine, if he's going to be a stickler, I'm going to log in, have my coffee, and do my, you know, morning routine, and then, you know, so they can, that can be manipulated, right? So if you don't have a, you know, video surveillance kind of thing, which I'm not going to go do that. So it's like 37 and a half hours is what it would add up to, 8:30 to 4. That's kind of minimum.
Yeah, right now.
Is that your reminder? You got to pick up your grandpa. But so I kind of have mixed feelings. Like, hey, look, if this week it's a light load week, right? But at the same time, I feel like we're paying you for 40 hours. Like, I feel like you only give me 30 hours a week. I don't feel like it's fair to me. We got to make some adjustments.
You got the duty.
Okay.
You got the duty from 8:30 to 4. If you can't do it, you got to turn the duty over to someone else. If you can't find somebody, you still got it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That would be my answer, because we have committed to rapid response to problems. Now, you know, if you can't do it, let me know. This is the time. I want to work 35 hours. I want to work 30 hours. I want to work 45 hours. Whatever you want, let me hear it now, but let's get it settled. And I'm not unhappy with your work. I just want to get this square so we don't have a hole in with a great client. We've committed to this standard of service and we must adhere to it. And not knowing and or learning at the last minute is not acceptable. That's all. Just, I like the duty idea. You got the duty. That is accountability. You're ultimately in charge. So you're in charge. You want to go do something else? Put somebody else in charge. Turn the duty over to somebody else. That would be it, Preston. I would say that's the best way to handle it. And thank her and credit her for doing a terrific job, and you value her. Just know people, you know, can't, a lot of people have real trouble with criticism. So I always like to think of it as sandwiching it with love, right?
Good. Yeah, good.
Right. We love you. This is a challenge. We still love you. You know, I always say don't major in the minors, but this is a major for you.
Yes,
and there, and that was a very good example.
It's and
a
so,
perfect so she, example.
So she does have a thing that she times in and times out, right, when she's working.
Okay.
One thought I had was, and again, I don't want to be the police of the time clock either, because that can be manipulated, but one thought was, instead of Shelley being the one to deliver that, is, hey, on Monday, she just tells me every Monday at 9:30, here's my hours for last week. I've worked 35 hours, or my hours are 40. Do you think I should even just leave that alone?
Tell Shelley what you're doing. Have the same meeting with Shelley.
Okay.
You gotta convince her that this is the way it needs to be.
Okay.
Okay, so Zan has the duty. You've got to turn it over to her. Okay? She's in charge while she's here. Not in charge, but she's got the duty.
Yeah.
I would be the lowliest lieutenant in the world, but when I had the duty on a ship, I was the commanding officer. Okay? I needed to get the captain and tell him the ship was going down. Okay? I was in charge until he took the bridge. Okay? So you're ultimately in charge, but she's in charge while you're working and doing something else. All right?
Makes sense.
Good. Sorry to cut it short, but, you know, duty calls. I got the duty.
your daughter is reminding you, you're on duty. Don't be
I know. Late. She is. See ya.
All right. Don't forget five daughters.
Right. I will.
Okay. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.